You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Laguna Beach, you're listening to Cakes 93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station, and I'm with my co-host, Robert Palmer.
Hey, good day, Hoser. There's a little Canada there, hey? That's pretty good stuff they're playing in Canada.
You have a pretty nice accent.
I'd like to get some back bacon right by now. That'd be pretty tasty. A little beer, what do you think?
Hey, let's talk a little bit. Robert, by the way, how was your week?
My week was really good. Still a little bit traumatized by my movie last night.
Well, that's right. What movie did you go see?
I saw a fantastic movie. I don't want to be a spoiler.
No.
Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
Only one guy makes it out.
It's
very shocking.
You're giving it away.
But truly fantastic. Peter Berg did it. It's the most realistic war movie you'll probably ever see.
Really?
Even used autopsy photos to determine how they died.
Wow.
It's true, but it's very, very intense and a really nice tribute to the military at the same time. So
yeah.
Marky Mark in his finest underwear does it once again.
Yeah, very... No, I've heard nothing but good things about it. My brothers-in-law both have, or at least one of them in Atlanta, Mark, says he thought it was a great movie.
More importantly, I have some trivia for you.
Well, before we go there,
okay.
You know, you and I were chatting, and I always like to bring up little tidbits about you, and I found this sort of interesting, that you had been traveling recently, and you were swimming with the sharks, and you had an encounter with a barracuda or something?
Sam, the barracuda.
What was that about?
Well, we were diving in Tahiti, and...
We would be...
My family.
Okay, great.
We eloped with our family for a wedding to go to Tahiti.
Nice.
And we're coming up for a safety check at about 20 feet, and this is after diving with sharks, so I'm not that nervous about diving.
Right.
And we're hanging, like, bait on a line at 15 feet, and all of a sudden, about a 6-foot barracuda comes up about an inch in front of us, starts staring at us angrily for about 5 minutes while we're doing our safety check. And he was looking at us one at a time, like, whom shall I eat? And it was pretty unnerving. If you've ever seen a large barracuda an inch away from your face.
I can imagine.
And we got to the surface, and it turned out that they used to feed Sam anchovies every time they came up at the line, but it's now banned under Tahitian law.
Ooh.
So Sam was apparently very pissed off that he wasn't eating anchovies.
Nice. And how close did you come to sort of being the bait there?
Sam had a thing for me.
I bet.
2 feet in front of me.
Yeah, okay. Very nice.
Fondly.
All right, so you got some trivia. What do you got going here?
Well, who knows what happened 30 years ago yesterday? The world literally changed overnight. Yesterday, January 24th, 1984, a particular company had their annual meeting, and they had an unveiling of a little toy called a Macintosh. Steve Jobs did it at his annual meeting, and as you know, that revolutionized the world.
Sure.
It was the first point-and-click computer ever made. When you turned it on, it said hello.
Mm-hmm.
That was designed to be as easy to use as a toaster, and it changed how we do things for...
Changed how we do things from now on.
Ooh, we changed microphones, and that's much better there.
All right,
happened.
There we go.
Yeah.
What's amazing about the thing, though, is I'm going to tell you its limited capabilities, and you guess its asking price 30 years ago. It was woefully underpowered. It only had 128 gigabytes of memory, which is almost nothing. It didn't even have a hard drive. It used what was called a little teeny floppy drive. It had a pathetic black and white 9-inch monitor, and it said hello when it came on.
I remember that.
For this pathetic performance, which is slightly better than a Pong game machine, guess what that machine cost?
$2,495. Wow.
We've come a long way since then. But what was interesting about it is Jobs really didn't even create it. Rather, it was the brainchild of the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center, which you may have known of.
Mm-hmm.
And both he and Gates were aware of that. He traded a bunch of his stock in Apple for the right and permission to try something that they had that they thought was worthless called point and click, point and drag. And he bought the rights to that. And the rest of it, as you know, is history. Now everyone can use computers very simply. And the Macintosh was introduced to the world. Do you remember? Super Bowl, third quarter. Ridley Scott made that iconic movie.
I remember that. Yeah, that trailer or whatever it was, and the guy with the, what was it, a hammer or something coming at the screen.
Big woman throwing a hammer.
Orwellian sort of feel.
Exactly. It was designed to be Apple destroying the world of IBM.
Yeah.
In many ways they have. So that's 30 years ago in history.
You know, that's very interesting. I remember my very first computer, my mom purchased it for me. It was a used computer from Radio Shack, and this is absolutely the truth. I had to install... Every time I wanted to run the word processor, cassette. So you'd have the cassette, and it would go, and it'd be like 30 minutes, and then you put in the second cassette, and it would go, 30 minutes, and that's how I launched that Radio Shack computer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Different world.
Mm-hmm. What else you got Trivial Pursuit-wise?
Well, that's about it for trivia right now, but we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about today.
All right, let's go. Let's move along. April, are you ready? Do we have that new sounder? Let's see what that sounds like for the police blotter. We've got this. Let's make
today's police blotter.
That was frightening.
I love that. That was great. By the way, that came courtesy, you know, those were developed here at the studio. Tyler and somebody else put those together for us. So if any one of those two are listening, thank you.
Well, as you know, crime is a serious part of the story. This is a serious show, and we try to focus on some of the local crime, corruption, murder, rape, mayhem, all those kind of things that are happening frequently here in beautiful Lunenburg Beach. This week from the police blotter, we have some terrifying stories.
Uh-oh.
First of all, the 200 block of Broadway, 9:20 a.m. on Tuesday, a patron reported forgetting to retrieve $1,500 in cash from her shopping basket because she had left some other unwanted items.
Wow.
When she returned, the employee said, I don't see any money in the shop.
Well,
cart.
But that's not to impugn the reputation of the employee. Well, that could have just gone missing.
They apparently arrested him for grand theft. So let's see what
happens. Oh, is that true? Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, why would you leave $1,500? If I had $1,500 cash with me, I wouldn't leave it in a shopping cart, first of all.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I'd keep probably wouldn't be doing your own shopping. Your personal shopper would be doing that for you. So here's another one. This is even more terrifying. Assault, Saint-Tropez, 5:39 p.m. A woman reported being stabbed by her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
Despite having her cell number and her location, the police could not find the victim.
Well, that's weird.
I guess there was just a dead phone laying there when they got there.
No, but, I mean, stabbing is a serious issue, yeah?
Well, speaking of serious, wait till you hear this. This is showing that the world has gone to hell in a handbasket. Petty theft, Friday, January 17th, 12:31. Someone, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Broke into a car and stole a Gucci bag.
Ooh.
Is there nothing sacred in this world anymore?
Not Gucci bags, yeah.
Coach, maybe, Chanel, but Gucci? Come on.
And give us a source. Are these just various local media that you're reading these from?
This would be from our own local police blocks here, right here in Laguna Beach. But we've got more coming
Very
up
nice.
Later from
Very
around the country.
All right, I'm listening. Who's
April,
next?
What do you
April,
got?
You got a few?
What do I got? Oh, I've got a few. Let's
Closer
see.
To the microphone, please.
On September 5th, a dog was left in a vehicle and didn't look very pleased, the caller said.
No!
That's terrible.
And didn't look very pleased.
I'm sure it wasn't very pleased.
That could be dangerous, obviously, for the pets, right? When you don't leave pets in the car, you leave the windows down, you give them some water, nonetheless. What else you got?
Oh, I like this one. Caller reported on the 1100 block, of Glenary Street, that someone threw a bong over a fence.
A bong?
Yeah.
Now, why'd
you waste a perfectly good bong?
I don't know. That's a good question, though.
Well, maybe somebody was coming up on him and he didn't want to have that bong in hand. You know what I'm wondering, by the way? I mean, why even this was in public, right?
Yeah.
April? Yeah. If somebody's a pot smoker, why would you have a bong? Why wouldn't you just get one of those new e-cigarettes that everybody's using these days? They seem more efficient.
Instead of a bong?
I would, yeah.
Well,
you don't know
the
much about
it.
Yeah.
Really the same.
Okay. It's a different sort of what? High?
A little bit, yeah. Just a little bit. Not that I would know, but I have friends who have told me.
Gotcha. Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
Hey, I have a related call here. During a 911 butt dial, dispatchers heard people talking about weed and how to get a pipe. Maybe those are the guys that heaved it over the wall.
I'm starting to detect a theme here between the two of you.
What's a butt dial?
It's a butt dial? You've never butt dialed? It's when you sit on your phone and it calls someone.
Yeah,
and it's very awkward
because
they overhear you talking or saying bad things or something like that.
Yeah, that
I've had those
be.
Happen.
Wow, that's cool. All right. I like this one. You didn't highlight it there, Robert, but I like it. So on August 27, 2013, a caller reported a naked man jogging on 19th Avenue, said that he wasn't stumbling, he seemed okay, but he was just very naked. And Mark said it was him, and he wasn't all that naked.
Is it hard to walk when you're naked, I guess?
Well, I couldn't imagine jogging naked. I mean, it was a guy, right?
Well, yeah, it'd be hard for a girl, too.
That's true, too, I guess.
There's
yeah, but
needed in some places.
I'll tell you what, I went swimming naked in the ocean once. I forget where. I was in the Bahamas, I think. And we were traveling, and we went on this island. I went over the remote side of this island, and I thought,
did you have a barracuda encounter?
I thought, you know, what would that be like? I've never gone swimming naked in the ocean, and it was really quite a freeing experience, and I recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've done that in a lake.
Have you?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
A lot. All right.
I do that in my shower sometimes.
Swimming?
No, just naked.
Oh. Yeah. What else you got?
Hey, a man reported receiving a text message stating, how'd you like to get this one? Quote, hey, I hid the body. Don't worry. No one will find it. Thanks for all your help. Please delete after reading.
Wow. That'd be freaky.
I think those are the wrong person.
That's the start of a good movie. Now, think about this. You know, somebody gets a text message from somebody they don't know about a body that they've hidden, and that's where the story... I bet you somebody out there, if they were listening, they'd jump on that.
It's probably like a Liam Neeson story. You
know? A Liam Neeson story.
I don't
story.
Have a lot of money, but I do have a particular set of skills. That kind of a movie?
Maybe so. Okay. Maybe so.
Okay. September 13th, a caller saw two people who appeared to be having sex in a truck. The caller wanted someone to come make it stop.
the truck or the sex?
Probably both going... Pretty good.
Is it illegal? You're an attorney. Is it illegal to have sex in a truck?
If you're in public, I would say probably yes.
Okay.
If you were safely tucked away somewhere, probably not.
Oh. Huh. Interesting.
Huh. Well, by the time they get there,
we'll have to check the vehicle code more carefully, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Might
just depend
if it's a 4x4 or not. That might have
some. What else you got?
Well, I have some good news. Because with all this crime, this melee, this horror going around town, I have some news to report here from this week's Laguna Beach Independent. Quote, headline, budget windfalls benefit new initiatives. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Because of our windfall, the city is ready for this, hire a full-time bicycle patrol officer.
Wow. We'll
soon be patrolling downtown, preventing these horribles from now on.
You know, I think that's probably a great idea. You know, one extra law enforcement official in town is not a bad idea. Somebody who can move pretty quickly on a bike in and out of those alleys and down the streets and on the boardwalk, that sort of makes sense for me. I think that'd be a great job.
There you go.
Yeah. You got anything else, April?
Yeah, this is a pretty good one. August 29th, officers responded to an unknown disturbance and found nothing but young kids playing with puppies and riding bicycles. Wow.
There you go. Hmm. And that is this morning's police blotter. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with Robert Palmer. This is Radio Caravan. So from this point, we tend to like to kind of mosey on over to the other section of our show, which I believe we have a new sounder sweeper, whatever it's called. Yes, April? Uh-huh. This one's going to be called About Town. Let's hear that sounder sweeper thing.
Here's your woman about town.
All right, Robert.
Well, hi,
a woman about town.
We've got some great stuff coming up this week. I want to tell you all about.
I believe this would be April's bit right here.
Okay. April, what do you got?
Oh, let's see.
Now, by the way, I mean, these are legitimate. The police blotter stuff we sort of have fun with. This is, like, legitimate stuff going on in Laguna and around surrounding communities that people can, you know, maybe interested in kind of partaking in this next week. So what do you got, April?
Okay, let's talk about this. This is Megan's new favorite ice cream spot. This is the Black Market Bakery at the Camp in Costa Mesa.
Sounds like a
Bristol.
Plug. Keep going.
They have delicious open-faced ice cream sandwiches. So vanilla Ooh. Ice cream is put on top of a warm cookie, and then you can add your choice of a topping. And add-ons include almond butter, banana, berry, jam, and it says bacon. That seems weird.
No, that doesn't
bacon.
Seem weird.
Bacon on ice cream?
Yeah.
Bacon goes great with everything.
It really does. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And, I love bacon.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty good.
What else?
Since we skipped winter and went straight to summer, you should take a break from the heat and try the latest.
Wait a minute, are we in summer?
Fad
already?
We kind of didn't have winter.
I got you.
I mean, hasn't it been pretty nice?
Been very nice.
It's been pretty nice.
Okay.
So this is called Liquid Nitrogen Ice Cream. Creamistry opened in Irvine off of Barranca in September. The first of its kind in the OC, and is still getting good reviews. Pricey, but you're paying for novelty.
Sounds like Megan likes ice cream.
That's fixated on it.
Right on board with her. So.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite flavor?
You know, I like gelato ice cream, and so I get the toasted almond.
Almond? Yeah. Just one? You don't like mix two different stuff?
Yeah, sometimes a sweet cream and caramel.
Well, Robert, what about you? Favorite ice cream?
I find mint chocolate chip goes great with scotch. Especially for breakfast.
Very nice. Okay. Good.
Two scoops in the morning.
Two scoops. Okay. All right, what do we got about town? Man about town, what do we got?
Now, your man about town.
All right, well, man about town's got some stuff, too. So we've got a bunch of events going on we'd like to bring to your attention. Some offbeat, some more down to earth. starting off is the Off Center Festival. It's its third year now. It's done by the Performing Arts Center at Segerstrom, and they do a whole bunch of wacky things. Last year, they did a series of one-act plays that lasted 6 minutes in a series of cars, and you went from car to car and saw the plays. This year, they've got a whole bunch of different things going on this week. Runs now through February the 2nd. $25. You can get tickets $15 online. They have live music. They have concerts. They have outdoor performance artists. It's something pretty different if you want to try something a little offbeat and not of the ordinary.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What did cars and six-minute plays have to do with that?
It was one of the shows that they have. It's a series of performances by artists from all over the country doing avant-garde forms of art form, yeah. Music, very eclectic.
Yeah.
And what they did was they literally lined up a series of cars, and you bought a ticket, and you went from car to car, and two of you sat in the back seat, and the actors were in the front seat acting out a driving
car,
screaming, crashing, fighting, whatever it may be. The show would end, you'd get out the door and go to the next car. It was very clever. And
that
a lot
sounds
of fun.
Very well. They used to do a thing up in Los Angeles. I forget the name of the play. The T word comes to mind, whatever that may be, where you would go into a house and go from room to room. You just sort of wander through this house, and there were actors in each room sort of playing out this scenario.
There are a number of those. They have a lot of them in Vegas still. Tony and Tina's Wedding would be a famous one
right.
That still plays to this day and does that kind of a thing, where you walk into a show that's going on before your very eyes.
All right.
But if you want something a little more rehearsed, back for probably the 47th time, Chicago is playing again at the Segerstrom Center, featuring this time Paige Davis as Roxy Hart, and that's on through February 2nd. Just across the street at South Coast Repertory Theater, they're bringing back The Light in the Piazza, one of the first shows that they did there. It's an absolutely beautiful musical, extraordinary cast, very large group of folks, very talented. I talked to the production folks. They're excited about the show. Encourage you to see that. It starts on Friday. Moving along.
Does anybody really know what time it is, by the way?
What are you, Peter Cetera here?
Do you not like Peter Cetera?
I do.
Yeah? Do you like Chicago?
I do.
Yeah? And what do you think Chicago brought to sort of the music scene? What was sort of its calling card? What did it contribute to that sort of sustained it over all these years?
Well, they originally brought a lawsuit. You may recall the first album was called Chicago Transit Authority, and they were sued by Mayor Daley for trademark infringement, and they thus became known as Chicago.
Oh, how interesting.
They then, after two brand albums, it brought the death of Terry Kath, who accidentally blew his brains out with a .38 revolver.
Uh-huh.
And happy news. And that's how Peter Cetera became the lead singer. But they brought a gritty blues, jazz, funk kind of music that had never existed, especially on the first two albums. Peter then took over. And much like when Michael McDonald took over the Doobie Brothers, it became very poppy and a whole different kind of band.
Right.
And
you say that with a little disdain.
I love Peter Cetera, but if you listen to the first two albums, they're extraordinary.
Okay.
You drop the needle on side one of the Silver album, you can play it and listen to it probably 1,000 times. But it's really, really phenomenal. You had Bobby Lamb on keyboards. He kind of faded out a bit. Pam Callen trumpet and trombone. Amazing.
Yeah.
Danny Serafini, first drummer to play with headphones.
Yeah.
They met in school. About half of them had master's degrees in their instruments.
Yeah.
Remarkably talented band. Did a lot of good things.
Very nice. The very first song I taught myself to play, and I played by ear. I'd never read music, was Color My World by Chicago. It was just, it wasn't that hard to learn.
You know how to play that song.
And you're a pianist, by the way.
Yeah.
And you played for us like 2 weeks ago. You're phenomenal.
Well, thank you. It was
great. Yeah, you're really good. So maybe we should bring in a little keyboard one of these days and let people listen to what you can do.
That was Terry Kath doing a love ballad in his grouchy little voice there. But that was a beautiful, beautiful song.
All right.
Speaking of beautiful, Pink. Pink comes back to town. She was just
beautiful.
In L.A. She's going to be in Vegas next weekend. If you haven't seen her, I could not encourage you to go more. She's the Truth About Love Tour at the Honda Center on Wednesday. Extraordinarily talented woman. I don't tend to listen to her music that much, but in concert, absolutely a dynamo. It's almost like a Cirque du Soleil show as well. She's been doing the boingsy things for years, bouncing around the stage.
Yeah.
And it's very well choreographed. She has a phenomenal band. Her energy is really eclectic.
She's got a great voice, too.
If you want to see Fake Pink, the Pink Floyd cover band, Which One's Pink, is at the Coach House tonight. Encourage that. And if you want to see just kind of a guy who I can't stand, David Spade, the comedian, is at the Improv this week.
And why can't you stand? Why don't you like David Spade?
Just kind of a surly little twit, don't you think?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
But here's my personal highlight. I feel like just getting blitzed and going to watching this. Ready
night? Go.
Tuesday night, 7 to 9:30, active senior volleyball tournament. Must be over 50. Can you imagine? This is going to be great. You want to come?
I'll go.
Okay.
Well, I got to believe there are phenomenal athletes over 50. Certainly. Maybe it's a real competitive sport.
Not over 50 inches tall. These are people that are over 50 years old.
I got you. I got to believe there are people who are in phenomenal shape who are over 50.
Do you think the spiking is going to be pretty good?
I think it might be. Yeah, I think it might be.
Spiking.
There's always spiking.
All right. Do we have any? Is that it? Do you have
I
any
got
more?
One more odd item.
Here we go. And then
we're going to bring up a TV show. Because, you know, I just saw it the other night. I'm a huge Greg Kinnear fan. Who isn't? You know, good as it gets. Great guy. He has this crazy new show out called Rake.
Rake?
Yeah. And other than the fact that I have a job, he reminded me a lot. He's kind of a complete goofball lawyer. Homeless, hardly has any money, harassing his assistant. She's harassing him, and he wound up dragging a giant tuna around the whole show, trying to sell it for $15,000 to pay off the mob that he owed money to. Depending on how they write it and direct it in the future, it could be a really good show. So you might want to give it some consideration.
When is it on?
Rake. Okay. It's on Fox. It's on Wednesday or Thursday nights. I forget which one.
That sounds good.
I liked it.
The life of a lawyer slash attorney who carries a tuna around with him. Do you ever carry a tuna around with you when you're going to work?
I never have.
Okay, interesting. Something you may want to do. April, do we have any other about town stuff that we have to get to? Or is that it?
I think he covered.
Great. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. So we decided today to sort of focus on music, our rock legends blotter sweeper thing. Let's hear what that sounds like.
Legends of rock. Rock.
We decided, though, to focus on the Eagles. And April and I, of course, huge fans. Robert, I think, is a fan as well, although the jury is still out on that. So we each sort of picked one or two songs that we wanted to bring into the studio this morning, play a little bit of each song, talk a little bit about, you know, some background, some research we did on the Eagles. And we have a very set list. So, April, what's the first song that we decided to kind of focus on here?
Seven Bridges Road.
And this is one of my picks, so let's get ready to play it. And the reason I picked this, honestly, is because for me, one of the things I find most fascinating about the Eagles, of course, their harmonies are just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I went online and I found something here from the Uncool website. Have you ever heard of the Uncool website?
Uh-huh. I have not.
Okay, well, it's the official website for everything Cameron Crowe. Do you know who Cameron Crowe is?
Great director.
Great director, great writer, etc.
Formerly the Rolling Stones.
And he interviewed, I think it was Glenn Frey, it was, about Seven Bridges Road. And here's what Glenn Frey had to say about it. It's something we do well. Four voices, a cappella. I think the bottom line is that's a style that comes very easily and naturally to us. It's also something that our fans really love. It's Americana. So here's a little taste of Seven Bridges Road by the Eagles.
Stars in the southern sky, southward as you go, there is moonlight and moss in the trees down the
All right, that was a gorgeous song that we're listening to, Seven Bridges Road, written by Steve Young himself, and was one of the last songs done by the Eagles. As a matter of fact, after the Eagles had essentially broken up, they were committed to make one more album for Elektra Records. But by that point in time, Henley and Frey hated each other and wouldn't even talk to each other. So they literally remixed this from opposite coasts. The quote I love here by the record producer was, quote, "The record's perfect three-part harmonies were fixed courtesy of Federal Express." They so much hated each other. If you look on the album, there's credits listed for no fewer than five different lawyers, all of their lawyers on there. And the final sign-off on it says, "Thank you and good night" at the end of the album.
Wow.
So they didn't end quite as nicely as they began. But let's talk about how they began.
Let's do it.
They start off in 1971. Many don't even remember the original band. That was Glenn Frey and Don Henley, who everyone knows.
Sure.
But Bernie Leadon and Randy Meisner.
I remember
the original ones.
Actually, they were the backup band for Linda Ronstadt for a while.
Absolutely correct.
Yep.
And can you name for me
yep.
the one gig that that band, the original Eagles, played? They only played one night only. Where was it?
The Roxy.
Disneyland. They played
it. Really?
Disneyland. They opened it at Disneyland for Linda Ronstadt.
Wow.
That particular group never played again, but they went on to reform. They went off and won 6 Grammys, 7 number one singles, sold over hundreds of millions of albums, were listed as the 500 greatest albums of all time, and the 75th greatest band of all time by Rolling Stone. 150 million. No other American band sold more music in the 1970s. And as you noted correctly, Randy Meisner came out of the Flying Burrito Brothers.
He yep.
played for many, many other people.
He did.
And but they went on, and they had a particular little hit there, their first hit.
Great.
You may know that it was written by none other than Glenn Frey and his neighbor. His neighbor happened to be Jackson Browne at the time.
Oh, I wanted to guess that.
Beautiful little tune called Take It Easy.
Has anybody been to Winslow, Arizona? Because I have. I have a brother-in-law who lives out there.
Really?
And no. they actually have a statue downtown Winslow, Arizona, of either, I don't know, Jackson Browne or Glenn Frey. You can decide when you drive by there. That old Route 66 out there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That drives through there? So, okay,
all
we're
right,
back to Take It Easy.
All right.
You're listening to KX 93.5 FM.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. And take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. And such a fine sight to see. We'll be right back.
By the way, there's a documentary CD package out there on the Eagles, which is really quite interesting. And Glenn Frey talks about how he learned to write songs because he lived upstairs, and apparently Jackson Browne lived downstairs in a little funky apartment somewhere in L.A. And Glenn Frey used to just listen to Jackson Browne every morning, get his tea, and then go sit at the piano and just start playing the same chords over and over again until he kept improving and increasing the quality of the song and working on the lyrics. And that's how Glenn Frey learned to write songs, by listening to Jackson Browne downstairs. Wouldn't that be great to have lived that, by the way?
That would have been amazing. Yeah. I had no such neighborhood.
I'm a huge Jackson Browne fan, by the way. And one of these days, very soon, we'll have to do a show on Jackson Browne.
Well, after 1972, they went on to 73 and did Desperado, which took a little bit harder edge, and I liked that album quite a lot. And then finally came along On the Border in 1974. By that point in time, they were looking for a harder sound, a more distinct sound, and they found a guy named Don Felder, who had been touring all over the country, and asked him to lay down a couple of slide tracks. Came on board, and the very next day, he became the Fifth Eagle and was a member of that band for many, many years, until later being fired and suing the Eagles.
Yeah.
Then along came One of These Nights, 1975. Bernie Leadon left the band. He was disgusted with the direction they were heading, i.e. rock and roll, not country rock, and he left. So then finally they come to probably their penultimate album, Hotel California, 1976 through 78. It took actually 2 years to record, and it featured none other than the amazing Joey Walsh. As you may remember, he started a band called James Gang many, many years ago in the 60s and 70s, Funk 49, probably one of the greatest songs of all time. And he really added a whole new direction and skill level. And, of course, he and Felder did those wonderful guitar riffs in Hotel California and throughout the rest of it. And then he introduced himself really to the band with Life in the Fast Lane, was really Joe's first big Eagles tune. And that took him in a whole new and very positive direction. Well, like all things now, Randy Meisner got pissed off because he thought they were becoming too hard rock. So he left the band after almost having a fist fight backstage with Don Frey, by the way. He refused to sing one of the songs, claiming he had the flu, and literally walked off the set, and they never got back together since that night.
Right.
Here's the funny trivia. Guess who replaced Randy Meisner in Poco when he left the band?
Oh, that's easy.
Timothy B. Schmidt.
And yeah, guess who replaced him when he left the Eagles? Timothy B. Schmidt.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the castrati eagle. He tends to sing rather high-pitched. I like to call
him
that.
I think women find him sexy,
oh,
yes?
My goodness,
April,
yes.
You were at the concert of the Eagles.
You find Timothy B. Schmidt sexy?
Oh, he is so sexy. Yes.
And so,
because of his feminine voice,
his
lack of body structure.
Hair, everything. You name it, sexy.
Settle down. Settle down. Hey, so you were at the Eagles concert just recently last weekend at the Forum, right?
Yes.
And you had great front row seats or eight row back or whatever
it was? Like 8 rows back. It was excellent.
And so what was the concert like? And what was the one song that really stood out for you from that concert? What did they open with, by the way? Hotel California?
Geez, no, actually, Don and Glenn were the only two that came out. They sat right next to each other. They both had their acoustic guitars. Hmm. And I believe, man, it all kind of blends together.
Okay.
When you're
anything stand out from the concert? Any one song? Anything they did? Like when Hell Freezes Over tour came around, they really changed the sort of the dynamics and the arrangements of Hotel California. It went acoustic, right?
Nothing really like that. Mm-hmm. They didn't even play Hotel California.
Not at all?
I don't believe so.
Oh, wow.
What, not really a song in particular stood out. What stood out was just the entire concert as a whole, because this is the fourth time I've seen them play, and they really restructured it. I mean, they made it a little more intimate. Mm-hmm. They started with just Don and Glenn to begin with. Then they brought out Bernie Leadon was there.
Wow.
And he actually played a few songs with them, and then they brought Joe Walsh out, and they brought Timothy out, and then they kind of started to rock it, but it was just really started out intimate, and it was but it really filled the Forum, which is surprising because it's so big, and it was really neat.
That sounds great.
And how'd you like the new Fabulous Forum? I hear great things about it.
It was great. The sound, the acoustics, amazing.
Great. So we have another song from the Eagles, because we've got a guest coming in here shortly.
We do. But here, one more little story for you.
Go.
The Eagles kind of fell apart July 31, 1980. They were playing in Long Beach, California. It's affectionately known as the Long Night in Wrong Beach. And apparently, Frey and Felder got into it on stage and began describing to each other in between songs how they were going to beat the hell out of each other backstage when the show was over. Quote said Frey, "I remember him looking at me and saying, 'Just three more songs till I kick your ass, pal.'" And even better than that, while they were singing the chorus of Best of My Love, they were giving each other death threats under their breath.
They capture some of that in this CD documentary I'm talking about. And you can hear a little bit of that transaction going on. And then apparently Felder went backstage and just slammed one of his guitars and broke a guitar. Of course, Glenn Frey makes it clear that it wasn't one of his expensive guitars.
I'm sure
it was one of his least expensive guitars that he broke.
So they break up for many, many years. Number went on to successful careers. Joe Walsh, but I think more than ever, clearly Don Henley established himself as a unique songwriter and singer extraordinary.
Yeah, great lyricist.
1982, he comes out with I Can't Stand Still, had Dirty Laundry. Then he comes out Building the Perfect Beast. And I like to play one of my favorite songs from that, which is a very introspective tune by him called Heart of the Matter.
Oh, wonderful. Love this song. You're listening to KX93.5 FM, The Eagles.
Sad song, as we were discussing our own personal lives and failures. But there is redemption and reunion with all things. And like the Phoenix, the Eagles rose again in 1994 with their reunion, Hell Freezes Over. And from that, both April and Scott have one of their favorite songs. You want to tell us about it?
I'm not sure which one it is.
That would be Learn to Be Still.
Oh, I don't know. April, you brought it in. Tell me why you brought it in. And ironically, we talked outside that I had considered bringing this song in. One more thing. Robert came in and said something about paradise, and I said to him before you even walked in, just another day in paradise.
Yeah.
Which is the opening line of this particular song. So it was weird that it came together, but why'd you bring it in?
Well, that's one of the biggest reasons is that I happen to listen very closely to lyrics when I listen to a song. And this song, it's like almost every single lyric within the song made sense to me in my life. I mean, we live in paradise here, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And then to me, I don't know if this is exactly the message they were trying to convey, but to me, it's about somebody who always wants something more. You know, you have a good job, but you want a better job. You make pretty good money, but you want more money. And it's like, instead of just wanting what you don't have, you should appreciate what you do have. And
that's beautiful.
And that's
Let's hear a little bit of this song, and then we're coming back, and we've got a guest that we're going to speak to for the rest of the show. Of course, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This is Radio Caravan, and here's a song by the Eagles.
Just another day in paradise. stumble to your bed. You give anything to silence. Those voices ringing in your head. You thought you could find happiness just over that green hill. You thought you would be satisfied, but you never will learn to be still.
Learn to Be Still by the Eagles, their last song of the day for us, and their amazing journey through time. And they're still on tour for many, many months to come. I'm sure you'll have another chance to see them when they come around.
I'm firmly convinced the Eagles are going to be one of those groups that just you're going to be still playing their songs and revisiting their songs 100 years from now, 200 years from now, much like the Beatles. Okay, would you like to introduce our guest, or would you like me to introduce her, Robert?
Well, I'll just mention this is a dear friend of mine for many years, Paul Ansara Wilhelm, an amazingly talented person, been an icon in the local real estate industry, advertising, founder of Basque Magazine, but more importantly,
oh, really?
One of the co-founders, one of the heads of one of my favorite charities of all times, Miracles for Kids. And as you know, we like to feature charities in here.
Yeah, we do.
So we asked Paula to come in and share some of her thoughts about this amazing charity she and Curtis Green and some others have put together and run very successfully over the last few years.
That sounds wonderful. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in so early in the morning. This is our charity highlight. We try to highlight a particular charity, and Robert is so well connected on so many levels that he came up with your name just like that. So thank you again for coming in. I guess, we want to learn a little bit about, your organization, et cetera, Miracles for Kids. I'm always curious why, first of all, people get involved in a particular charity. What sort of gravitated you toward this particular charity as opposed to any other?
Well, for me, it was the ability to get involved on so many different levels. Yeah. So it wasn't just about writing a check. It was, if you want to get to know the families, you have that ability. If you don't want to get to know the families, you have that ability. Right. We have several programs. We have grant program. We have fund a family. We have baskets where we deliver to the children and the families that we're supporting through Chalk Hospital.
So let me back up just a little bit here. Personally, how long have you been involved with the organization, would you say?
It's been about 15 years, but I've been a board member for about 6 years.
Wonderful. And when you first started to get involved with the organization, was there anything that triggered that? I'm always curious, for the listeners, maybe there are people who want to get involved in some sort of charity organization or nonprofit, and they're just not sure how to pick and choose the right one.
Right.
What sort of tipped it over for you back then? Do you remember?
Well, it actually came to me through when I was a partner at Strata Properties, and I was working with Curtis Green, who was the founder of Mortgage Miracles for Kids.
Okay.
And that's what it was called at that time, and since then it grew. But it came to me through design and advertising and marketing, because he was looking to grow the program. And he asked me to help him with the branding, which is what I do. So
right.
it came through, work, so to speak. But what I found is the ability to be able to get connected much more deeply than simply, just the branding or, again, writing the check.
Yeah, that sounds great. You've said that a couple times. I love that line. Not everyone can write a check mm-hmm. to a nonprofit. And your organization, what would you say, first off, is the sort of the mission of your organization? What's sort of the primary focus of Miracles for Kids?
Our focus is to improve the lives of children battling cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. And we do that in a way of supporting the families. Because right. when a child is diagnosed, what happens is typically one or both of the parents has to quit work, which puts them in a really difficult financial position. And what we found is those families, those children going through treatment, if they have support, sometimes, the family's evicted. Sometimes right. they don't, they lose their car. They don't have transportation to the hospital. And so we step in and help them with things like rent or car payments or groceries so that the family is taken care of. And when you take care of the family, the child responds better to treatment because they're not worried about their siblings and their parents.
It's one of those holistic things that are harder to focus on and raise money. It's easy to say, let's raise money to cure diabetes. It's a simple scientific research cure. But people forget everything that comes along with that, all the ancillary problems. And typically when a child is ill, the family has to move. It's not like you have a cancer center in your backyard. And moving means at least one spouse has to give up their job, which means the other spouse is alone. And how in the world do you pay for rent, hospital? How do you even pay for the bills for the doctor to do that? And it's an all-knowing, all-caring thing. The Ronald McDonald Charities years ago started on a similar but less holistic function. They just provide a house. Mm-hmm. And the kids that they've helped are just truly remarkable, and the programs are remarkable.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. You know, you mentioned not everyone can write a check, and then you started listing off various programs that your organization offers. Can you kind of give us the sort of the synopsis of those various programs and how they work?
Sure. Yeah? Obviously, we have the grant program where we apply to different corporate partners for grants to support the programs, and, you know, that is writing the check, so to speak. We have a fund-a-family program where you can actually adopt a family and get to know them. You can, you know, buy them birthday gifts, get to meet them, visit them with the basket program delivers, real, you know, get very close to them.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.